Father God, we thank you for what you have given Lawrence to share with us now. And we ask, Lord, that you would take these words. Help us, Lord, to have hearts that are ready to receive them. And may we know, Lord, that we meet with you as Lawrence speaks now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please do take a seat. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, turn back to the Jeremiah passage as we will be looking in depth at those verses. I'd like you to picture the scene, if you can. It was the end of October, and it was just starting to get cold. Nathaniel was only a few days old and in need of a winter coat, so I went to the wonderful place that is Asda in Early. All was well, until all of a sudden I heard a dreadful sound. A sound that no one wants to hear. A sound to send chills up the spine. It was the sound of Noddy Holder screaming, "It's Christmas!" over the speaker system. I looked up and I saw the seasonal aisle with snowmen lined up next to skeletons for Halloween and let out an all too audible sigh. Some announcements can be a little bit premature, can't they? Like when the English football team won their first match in this year's World Cup and the nation suddenly began to chant, "It's coming home." Awkward. In the same way, as Christians, we're always making announcements about the kingdom of God. We speak and we pray and we worship as though it's here now, a present reality amongst us that we proclaim. And at the same time, we know that it is still something that we are waiting for. It's something that is yet to come, and it doesn't take us long to have a look around the world and see that things are not quite as God would intend for his eternal kingdom. And I think this conflict is quite nicely summed up in the two prophecies that we've heard this morning. The first from Jeremiah, who foresees the kingdom of God arriving with the Messiah. And then the other prophecy from Jesus himself over 600 years later about the kingdom of God that will break in when he comes again. My question for us this morning then is this: is the kingdom of God near? And by extension, what are we celebrating at Christmas? Because the danger is that it can feel as though Advent is a little bit hollow. Every year celebrating Jesus' coming to us, and yet the kingdom not ever feeling any nearer to us. So is the kingdom here? Or, like Jeremiah, are we going to be waiting for the next few hundred years or thousand years, waiting for God's words to us to become a reality? So I'd like for us to look into that question by beginning with another question. How do you know when Christmas is near? I've already spoken about my horrible experience in Asda and its musical aspects, the short and sudden-lived popularity of Slade, Mariah Carey and Michael Bublé. So music aside, how do you know when Christmas is near? Shout out some... It gets colder. That's a good one. Yes. Yes, the horrible adverts trying to sell you stuff that you don't need. Yeah. Anything else? It gets darker. Yeah. So cold and dark. Christmas, something positive. Well done. Thank you. There's me moaning about the music. It's cold and it's dark and there's adverts for stuff. Yes, Christmas lights. So when you see your first Christmas lights, that's often when you start to feel Christmassy. Anything else? Mince pies, yes. Eating far too much food. There we go. It's like Marmite. You love it or you hate it. You may notice I'm a bit of a Scrooge. Hannah has enough Christmas cheer for the two of us. Yeah, so it can be any one of these things, can't it? I don't know, for some of you, it might be the turning on of the Christmas lights in the precinct might be the start for you of your time of Christmas. But we know that Christmas is near when we see and we taste and we smell these things. They are the signs that Christmas is near. And that's how Jesus tells us to look for the kingdom as well, to look for the signs. He says, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near." So here he's comparing the coming kingdom of God to a beautiful tree sprouting leaves at the turn of summer. I think it's no coincidence then that later on in Luke's gospel, as Jesus is led away to be crucified, he asks this question. He says, if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? So he's comparing himself to the blossoming tree, and he is the sign that God's kingdom has come near, just as Jeremiah prophesied. So if we look now to those verses from Jeremiah, and again, it's wonderful if you have them in front of you. I don't know whether David's able to bring them up on the screen. Don't worry about it too much if you're not. So we can have a look at these verses to see more of what this sign, Jesus, means. The Lord says, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. So with God's kingdom comes a time of justice and righteousness, a time of security and salvation. Here's another question. Did those things come with Jesus? Put your hands up if the answer is yes for you. That's interesting. Put your hands up if your answer is no. Put your hands up if you're afraid of putting your hands up. Shall we try that again? Four of you answered. I know you're out there. I can see you. God, if you think that Jesus saw those four things come in, put your hands up. Yes. Oh, there, we're a bit more positive now, aren't we? And how about no? Okay, we're going to go with the majority if you don't want to answer. But it's interesting, isn't it? You probably weren't sure. You're thinking, I don't know what the right answer is. What do I do? I don't think there is a right answer because in a way, yes, some of these things did come in with Jesus. I think that righteousness and salvation, were the pillars of Jesus' ministry. And yet at the same time, we can look around us and say that justice and security, we're a bit more iffy on, aren't we? Is the world just? I'm not sure that it is. Can we all live in security? I'm not sure that we can. And so maybe it's a bit of uncertainty there. Before these verses, Jeremiah says this, that all these things will be found in the days when the Lord fulfills the good promise he made to the people of Israel and Judah. So God, as we've heard this morning, made promises to the patriarchs. He promised to be their God and to make them a great nation. He promised that they would be his people, that he would bless them with an eternal home and the intimacy of his presence. And in that light, I think the kingdom really is near because we recognize those promises being fulfilled in Jesus and in our own lives because of Jesus. We recognize that Jesus is one who came to bring all people close to God, to give us eternal life and eternal home, to bless us with the Holy Spirit. We see those signs of the kingdom fulfilled in Jesus. But then again, that uncertainty comes back because Jeremiah's prophecy has another layer to it. The next verse, so verse 16, says, in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The kingdom of God then is going to be marked with the complete transformation of Jerusalem, which represents all of God's people, that's us. The city will be given a new name, the Lord our righteousness. So if you have Jeremiah in front of you, would you turn to chapter 23, verses 5 and 6? And David, if you could just leave the ones from 33 up on the screen. This is what Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 say. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. We see that this prophecy is almost identical to the one from chapter 33, but this time the name is given to the Messiah. So the Saviour of the world will share his name with his people. Their identities will be wrapped up in one another. They will share holiness, righteousness, and peace. Christ, it says, is going to come as a king. And as we heard last week, if you were with us, he will take his place on the throne of creation. And all of this is a vital sign of the fullness of the kingdom that we are still very much waiting for. So Jeremiah's prophecy is once again a yes and a but. So I think that Advent is a time when we come to terms with recognizing that God's kingdom is both a reality for us today, but also that things are not quite as God said they would be. The kingdom is both near and coming and already here. It is both now and not yet. How can that be? Do we find that confusing? I think I find it quite confusing. Allow me to try and make it slightly less confusing for you. Perhaps you might want to think about it this way, because as Christians, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus, then we live with this kind of paradox every day. Because let's think about it, even though we all still sin every single day, we say and do and think things that we shouldn't, we distance ourselves from God, from our neighbours, and we don't love ourselves as God has intended us to be loved. Even though we still sin, we are all blameless in the eyes of God through grace. And even though each of us here is still to die, do we not still believe that death has been defeated and we will live forever? And even though all of us already experience sadness and sorrow every single day, some of us more so than others, even though we experience these things, is not our joy already complete through what Jesus has done for us? We live in a perpetual state of reality and expectancy, of here and now and then and there. The kingdom is not fully here, I believe, and therefore thoroughly less than God has promised, but it is also a beautiful, wonderful, and powerful reality for us now, because we see the kingdom when someone comes to faith for the first time. We see it grow when God shares words of wisdom with his people. We experience the kingdom when we worship and pray together and when our times of fellowship move us. We find it when our homes, food, money, and love are shared with those who so often go without. I think all of these things can give us cause to both celebrate and hope as we enter the familiar territory of Advent and should inspire us to make the kingdom a reality in our communities. So while it can feel as though we are announcing something that is quite far off, we are also heralding something, or more accurately, someone that is already here and has drawn near, our Saviour Jesus Christ. So thanks be to him. Amen.